Okay. All right. Very brief, real fast here. Apparently, I'm just going to call this a morning wine cellar when it's that's not supposed to be a thing anymore. It's supposed to just be wine cellar. But, yeah, shit is still, it's a gruff, rough week in the household. We picked up Fetus Kalita, a walking cane, and she said that's helping right now. And, yeah, Fetus Kalita still has, pretty tough, histoplasmosis-related, swelling in the joints, and particularly in the, about the feet and ankles and kneecaps, and then in general, everything else also just hurts. It's a chronic pain issue, so it's real grisly right now. All right, hopefully she'll be able to get near the microphone today while I'm in the factory, because it is Wednesday. So hopefully she'll be able to do a sex workers news episode for her RSS feed for SWOP. Then that's a Sex Workers Outreach Project, SWOP. And if not, maybe I can pull something together and I can get some content up there, at least 15 minutes of content, and then another one for Friday, and then we'll try to get into this weekend and maybe smooth it out. Maybe. I don't know. All right. But yeah, so we're going to tough it out. Thank you, everybody, all you Patreon folks. It is the first of the month. It is Patreon Day. Thank you, y'all folks, holding it the fuck down. Nigga from PayPal came through and hit niggas up on the PayPal from Twitter. Somebody from Twitter hit that up. A couple of you niggas always holding it the fuck down. Keep making the wine cellar still exist. Right, if y'all folks weren't holding the wine cellar down, I would have a another part-time job, like maybe like some sort of maybe like part-time it at fucking Menards, morning stocking, some shit like that, and then go straight to the factory from there. But like I would have to get another gig if it wasn't for you folks. All right, so you make it so that we can actually do this instead of just that. All right. And I'll hit up these two things real fast, and then we'll move on with the day. But there is other stuff that I have backed up, because I want to cover that stuff with Fetus Kalita. All right, so we're looking at KHOU 11. I'm guessing that HOU is short for Houston. Maybe this is K Houston 11 news outlet. And this is that shit where it's like, I think Fetus Kalita's commentary on it was real brief on Twitter. Like, she shared the link and said, getting real tired of being cold, of being told rape culture doesn't exist, was her thing. And then somebody shared the link on the Facebooze, and they noted her name and then said the words. And then I held my smart device up to her like, oh, look, somebody noted your name and said the words. She was like, at least they actually named me this time. And I was like, shit, people are always fucking stealing her words. It's fucking grimy. All right. And the journalist that put this particular copy of the story up is Andrew Kreitz. All right. So we're looking at Watertown, New York. A judge handed down 10 years probation last week to a former New York school bus driver after he admitted to raping a 14-year-old girl. His name is Shane Peach, or Piche. It's P-I-C-H-E. And Shane Piche is a 26-year-old individual. And this individual will be registered as a level 1 sex offender, according to the Waterford Daily Times. The judge reportedly said because he had no prior arrests and there was one victim that we know of, the sentence, and the judge said that makes the sentence appropriate. 10 years probation. Level 1. Is, peep this, admitted to raping a 14-year-old girl, and this person's job was school bus driver. Now, peep this. level one is considered the lowest risk level out of three. Lowest risk. Raped a 14-year-old girl while working as a school bus driver. This is the one we know of. Lowest risk. And Piché will not be included in the online sex offender databases. So how the fuck do you find? What do you got to take out of? You basically have to see this news story somehow to find out about this motherfucker in your fucking neighborhood or town. He pleaded guilty in February of raping a 14-year-old girl who he met through his job as a bus driver with the city school district. Piché also was charged with unlawfully dealing with a child. This language, I hate fucking Anglo jurisprudence. I hate this fucking language. Unlawfully dealing with a child. He's a fucking rapist. And endangering the welfare of a child after he allegedly gave the girl alcohol. He admitted to rape. Why is anything else allegedly now? The New York Times reports that Piché is required to pay $375 in court fees and surcharges, plus a $1,000 special sex offender registration fee. But he's not even going to be in the online database. This is the shit you're talking about. And like Fias Kalita said, real tired of being told rape culture does not exist. All right. And this one's on Atlanta Black Star. Pam Loco linked us to this one. I don't typically go to Atlanta Black Star. The main reason is if you're on a smart device, an Atlanta Black Star article is like 10 pages. And they keep hitting you with all these advertisements. They blast you with a lot of them. And another one is they publish people in here that are children of Welsing. So you never know what kind of slant you're going to get. So let's take a look here. Off of Atlanta Black Star. Now this is something. Australia High Court to decide. All right. Hasn't happened yet. To decide if Aboriginals without citizenship can be deported. All right, and this article's up by an individual by David Love. I kind of want to just take a look over here and click on David Love's name and see what else they've put up. Okay, from April 24th, David Love has the Democratic politicians are throwing around the new buzzword reparations, but are they really serious? Okay. Another one by David Love is a Pew survey. 67% of whites have never experienced racial discrimination. All right. EMS workers, paramedics are less likely to give black patients pain medicine. All right. We know that already. Brazil's new president, Bolsonaro, gets blessings from Trump, Netanyahu for policy of racial genocide. All right. All right. Just from looking at those few, I'm not seeing anything yet about, yeah, because you never know, because they publish homophobes and shit in here at Atlanta Black Star. All right, let's dance it forward. Australia, a country taken over by white colonizers. All right, that's incorrect, though. Those were not colonizers. Those were people that were sent down there. That was like a prison camp. Like they sent that, like people, white people sent other white people down there as punishment. Right. And then they just said, well, fuck it. We're white. And now I'm sure they had some sort of guards there. And the guards are like, we got guns. And oh, shit, there's colored folk down here. We can harm and rape them a lot. All right. And let's dance it forward here. But So Australia taken over by white colonizers after the black indigenous population had lived there for 65,000 years and will now determine if Aboriginal people without Australian citizenship are aliens who are subject to deportation. Let's take a look here. Excuse me yawning. It's 1:48 a.m. I got to get to the factory. There is a case before the High Court of Australia that will establish whether an Indigenous person can be considered an alien under the nation's constitution. Two men fellers, Daniel Love and Brendan Toms, have filed a lawsuit in which the court will determine whether an Aboriginal Australian with at least one Australian parent, one who has been born in another country, came to Australia as a young child and has only left the country briefly and is not an Australian citizen, is an alien under Section 51 of the Australian Constitution. Hold the fuck up. That's a whole bunch of bullshit. Let's do it again. All right. They filed a lawsuit with the court to determine whether an Aboriginal Australian... Now, notice that they were there first, but they have the hyphenated citizenship title, but apparently they're not citizens. All right, so they're Aboriginal Australians, not like the white people who are just Australians, with at least one Australian parent, meaning, all right, so you have some white blood. They're trying to determine if an Aboriginal Australian with some white blood and one who was born in another country, if they came to Australia as a young child, but they're Aboriginal, their bloodline was there. I could have swore that 65,000 year thing was just there, but fuck that then. They came. All right. So, and if they came to Australia as a young child and has only left the country briefly, is not a citizen, and is an alien under Section 51 of the Australian Constitution. That's a whole bunch of bullshit to say we want to be racist. Just say we want to be racist and kick people out of where we showed up with guns. All right, dancing it forward. The answer the plaintiffs have gotten is no. For descendants of Australia's First Peoples, an indelible part of the Australian community, to be aliens for the purposes of Australia's constitution is antithetical to their indigeneity words and to the social, democratic, and political values which underpin and are protected by the constitution. The concept of aboriginality is inconsistent with the concept of alienage, the men say in their filing with the court. And they have an image of these folks, and these appear to be Aboriginal folks. These are not white folks in this picture. Daniel Love, pictured with his mother, is an Aboriginal Australian born in Papua New Guinea, who has lived in Australia since childhood. His parents never completed his Australian citizenship papers. And Daniel Love was detained under an immigration law that mandates deportation for aliens who are sentenced to jail time for certain offenses. Okay, what are the certain offenses? And also, the powerful irony. Remember, Australia was like a prison jail situation, which is how Europeans ended up there. And now it's like, huh. You know what, if you're a colored person and your bloodline is be done bended hair and you go to jail, you gotta leave. Huh. That is something special. All right, let's take a look at a little bit more of this. Under a 2014 federal immigration law known as a bad character law, deportation is mandated for people living in Australia with visas who are sentenced to at least 12 months of imprisonment. You notice how you have to do the prison first and then you can get kicked the fuck out. the Australian government wants to make their immigration laws even more draconian by broadening the government's power to revoke visas of people with criminal records. The policy has increased the deportation of people who have lived in Australia most of their lives to countries such as New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, or other islands in the Pacific, even when those people have no ties to the country to which they are returned. One third of the 1,300 people in immigration detention are there based on bad character. And in New Zealand, where the Australian deportation plan has been criticized, 600 people were returned in 2017. Now, let's take a look here. Maybe they'll get to his deal. So Daniel Love is a 39-year-old individual. We know about his New Guinea thing. Came to Australia at 6 years old. Last year, Daniel Love was sentenced to 12 months in prison on an assault charge. The government canceled his visa, and Love was placed. So assault, punch, slap, kick, threw a lampshade at a nigga? Like, what? Say, huh, what? Let's see. Daniel Love sued the government for $200,000 in Australian money, and which would be $142,920 in USA money dollars. And this was in compensation for false imprisonment, claiming the government illegally detained him and that he has suffered loss of appetite, sleep deprivation, and anxiety. He was unable to see his five children, all of whom are Australian citizens, and feared for his safety with the prospect of being sent to a country with which he has no family connections. Aha. Uh-huh. Let's take a look here. He was sentenced to imprisonment for 18 months for assault causing bodily harm, and his visa was canceled because he was deemed an unlawful non-citizen. Oh, this is a different individual. This is Brendan Toms, who also filed the suit. Okay, so that's going on in Australia. We should follow this. Thank you, Pam Loco. We will keep to this, all right? And on this Patreon day, we're going to try to get our WineCellarMedia.com back up. And again, thank you to the Patreon folks, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Where Patreon is right now, in this moment, it has us at 33.3%. I like doing the 0.3. From the goal of having it so that I can switch to part-time work at the factory. 33.3% there. Yeah. Get us a 66.61, however the mathulating works there. But 66.6 more, and we'll be there. We'll be 100% to the goal of switching to part-time, and then I can set a new goal to just get all the fuck way out of the factory and then just be a full-time content creator, right? And but I think even once we get to part-time, like when I can switch myself down to only working 3 or 4 days in the factory, holy shit, gonna be creating content like a fucking monster. But right now I have to work a lot. All right, folks. And there's always the old paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. And once again, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And we're going to figure out what we're going to do about Phoenix Collider's swap show and keeping that content up Monday, Wednesday, Friday, keeping that going while she is in a great deal of pain right now with the histoplasmosis and the swelling and inflammation hitting her joints, particularly her feet. We did pick up a walking cane. It cost about $9 and change, over 10 after tax. And she said that's helping. Though man, you know what? I want to go back and look at those canes. I think we should have got like a $33 cane because they have like the three feet at the bottom so that it can stand up by itself. You don't have to lean it up against something when not in use. Yeah, we'll try to figure this whole thing out, yo. All right, but yeah, Phoenix Kalita is having a fucking hard time. And she did set an appointment to get what is called a steroid shot, which, and she said, like, from her experience with the steroid shots, they alleviate the pain, like, within 20 minutes, and, like, as far as, like, joint swelling, and that lasts for 5 to 6 months. And then seeing as how, like, the health insurance thing works out, the lasting 5 to 6 months, you want to preemptively set another appointment at, like, the 4th month so that you can get the shot on, like, the after that, like, on that 6th or 7th month. It's tough. It's a whole thing. Yeah, like, it, and it's all new to me. I'm very ignorant of a lot of this stuff. All right, gang. Please, motherfuckers, be as safe as possible wherever you is be way. Yeah, that's what we're doing.